from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's time to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, they're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that, the Fan podcast, at 1080thefan.com or the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Joe Fisher sitting next to me, Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. We got Fair Foul coming up in about a half hour. A big, big show as it is the MLB trade deadline. And we'll get to a little bit of stadium news here in about 15. But I want to look around and kind of, I thought there was some really interesting tidbits about teams that made moves and teams that didn't make moves. Now, obviously, every team is active, so I don't want to say, you know, let's take the Braves, for example. I don't want to say that Alex Anthopoulos, who's one of the best team-running guys in all of baseball, was sitting on his booty doing nothing. He just couldn't find things done. But I think there is worth saying some things about teams that were active and teams that weren't active. I think one of the weirdest ones for me is the San Francisco Giants. Like, they send Soler to the Braves. They deal Cobb, but they also brought some guys in. Like, they don't really know where they are. And I think there are some other teams like that, too.
Well, I mean, Giants, massive underperformance this year, according to what I thought they were going to be, and a few others, especially with the moves that they made in the offseason. You brought it up a couple segments ago. I mean, with the Cardinals nipping at their heels, I mean, the Brewers not really doing anything.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That was a little strange. I mean, both of the teams... I know that you like the Lane Thomas move from the Guardians, but them and the Twins stand pat.
Yeah.
And if you're a Mariners fan, you got to be pretty happy that the Astros got Yosei Kikuchi. Like,
which apparently Astros Nation is not very happy about.
I mean, yeah, former All-Star, quote unquote.
They gave up a ton for him, apparently. Like, all of a sudden, they just got, like, blinders on, said, I need you, whatever it takes! And they gave up some of the
They're fun. Also used to trading for Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke. Like, that's what they're used to trading for when they need a starter going down the stretch. The Astros is an interesting one. The fact that they did not upgrade for first base is a wild thought. Starter, I don't know if starter was really what they needed. I thought they needed more. Well, there's rumors that Kyle Tucker might be done for the year.
Well, I mean, they do need a starter because they've had like two or three get hung up for the year that aren't playing. And then God only knows when, you know, we're going to see Verlander back to full strength.
Right.
So they did need a starter. But, yeah, I don't know if you are, as an Astros fan, sitting here like, we made our team much, much better at the deadline. And, like, if you're looking at either the Mariners or the Astros, I would say the odds have swung heavily in the favor of the Mariners.
I would agree.
Outlasting them in this division, which I didn't, again, a week ago.
Would have never expected.
Didn't think that was going to be the case.
Never expected.
I mean, like, yeah, start packing it up.
But it's weird how things can go. Like, the Cubs trade for Esoc Paredes, right?
That's another team where it's just kind of like, what do you...
The Cubs were kind of odd. You know, you had mentioned earlier the comments of, if we don't see anything, we're looking for the future. Now, Esoc Paredes is under control for like three more years.
I was going to say, after granted, this season. That is kind of looking towards the future.
So maybe that is the deal they needed to make. But,
and who would you rather have for 3 years, Paredes or Morel? I mean,
Paredes.
Morel has pop in his bat, but outside of that, like, yeah, I would rather have Paredes.
You know, but a bunch of people were in on Jameson Taillon. There's no movement there. Cody Bellinger is obviously your high leverage. You could move. You could potentially get somebody big. I also think another one that actually might be okay that they didn't do anything, paging the Philadelphia Phillies. Like, what did they really do? Austin Hayes was a good pickup. I think that was a good pickup for them.
He had a three-run home run today, it was yesterday.
But there really wasn't much from them, despite potentially being the best team in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fascinating, that they just kind of looked at it. I mean, the Dodgers are the same aspect. Okay, they get Jack Flaherty. Nobody thinks that's going to work out well. They get Jack Flaherty, but they don't get anything else. There's no batting help. There's no... That farm system is so loaded, and they usually, you know, 3 years ago, they got Trey Turner and Max Scherzer, and this year they got Jack Flaherty. So I think Phillies and Dodgers are fast... Phillies, Dodgers, and Braves are fascinating to me that they basically did nothing. Is Jorge Soler really moved the needle for you?
Oh, no.
If you're the Braves?
No. And he hasn't been good this year. I mean, maybe it's just a, you know, return to scenery and you get him in the postseason and he's got that postseason
bobblehead night because he's an MVP.
Yeah. But I would definitely debate that the Dodgers did a lot. I mean, you get Jack Flaherty, who's been having a great year for Detroit. Now, the last time we saw Jack Flaherty get traded at the deadline was last year from my Orioles, and that didn't work out so well.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
But them getting Kevin Kiermaier, I mean, Ahmed Rosario, whatever, but them getting Kopech for the bullpen. Again, I don't know if we're going to see Tommy Edman this year, but for the future, that is a great pickup. I really like Tommy Edman. It's just a matter of, can he stay on the field? So I think, you know, the Dodgers, and again, you want to talk about a team that has, as we're watching right now, the Dodgers and the Padres sure as hell, man, they are
that,
like...
That bullpen's looking nasty.
Yeah, that could be one of the best in the league. And
is Jerkson Profar the NL MVP?
No, but...
Yeah. Too bad they don't have a most improved player of the year in baseball, because damn!
Yeah, but that's where the Padres...
It's comeback player of the year.
Padres, yeah. Man, they are... You know, from the off season to this very day, they are going for it. They say, F these picks, F these prospects. We hate the Dodgers.
Ride or die.
Dude, the Dodgers are annoying. And I think it'd be somewhat poetic justice. I mean, granted, it's like the Padres are getting big, trying to get big names and great players too. But still, it'd just be like, you think you guys are great over there in LA. Watch us come through and, I mean, they're what, 5.5 games back now? Watch us come through and end up, you know, overtaking you. I don't know if in the standings, but maybe in the playoffs. I mean, that would be great. I would pay to see that.
I think I'll wrap up this trade deadline discussion with, I think what's the easiest, most disappointing team at the deadline, the team that was clearly there to make moves and completely fell on their face, will be what I think we all consider the worst franchise in baseball, and that's the Chicago White Sox. Okay, Eloy Jimenez gets dealt. The best move the White Sox have made all season is trading Dylan Cease, and that was in spring training. The fact that they stood pat and didn't move. Now, Crochet blew his own world up, but the fact that they didn't trade him, they didn't trade Luis Robert, the fact that there are a bunch of dudes on that team with talent blows my mind. In fact, Ozzie Guillen said something yesterday that I think is actually massively apropos to this situation. Jordan, roll that beautiful beam footage.
Well, right now, it's just kind of, I thought of the trader because I don't know, for some reason, some players out there, they think they're going to get traded. They're like, no, a couple guys making...
they've made comments.
Comment about they want to say, who warned you?
Mm-hmm.
For real.
And he's not wrong. Like, I think that's where the White Sox messed up, is that they are so bad and they're such a poorly run franchise. They got guys that we know their name and people are like, why would I want you? You know, why am I going to pilfer? You know, that's why I was kind of curious about the Rays. The Rays all of a sudden have guys that everybody wants. The Rays aren't very good. So if those guys together can't do it, why do you think they're going to be great on other teams? The White Sox are the absolute disaster. And I think this trade deadline just showed that that organization has no idea what they're doing.
Well, I think just from reading the reports about the trade, like the prospects that they got back in that Cardinals, Dodgers three-team trade, like it was just kind of like, dude, you didn't really even get that much back as far as prospects-wise. Like, yeah, it's amazing that a team that bad can still screw up in the not even on the field or the off-the-field stuff.
Like all you got to do is trade dudes.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that hard, especially when like you have a few players that teams want and see value in. And yeah, I mean, you look at their transactions, they really didn't get rid of anybody.
I'm so excited to see in 2 years when Garrett Crochet is like a free agent and they're like, why would I sign you? You said you didn't want to pitch in the postseason.
It sounds like this organization got a little too high up in their britches and was not happy with the price of return. They're like, yo, we were asking a little bit more. And even in the seller's market, it was not to the White Sox standard, which... that's hilarious,
and
if you ask me.
And I think what blows my mind is when they sold Aaron Rowan, Chris Sale, they had dudes and they sold and they got, you know, Giolito and, you know, Eloy Jimenez, and they got all these Yoan Moncada, they got all these studs in the minors, and here we are 4 years later and they all suck. And it's probably your fault. It's mind blowing. Well, it's mind-blowing.
Pedro Grifol will be a jobless manager at the end of the year.
All right, when we come back, there's a little bit of stadium news in baseball that does affect Portland, so we'll talk about that. Plus, we have Fair or Foul in 15 minutes. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. Fair or Foul coming up here in about 10 minutes. Thank you so much for listening to this terrible voice right now. If it makes you feel any better, it's not awesome to do it. So I'm sorry you have to hear it.
Get some lozenges, some Earl Grey tea. Are you a tea fan?
I drink tea every morning, my friend.
What's the tea, the golf tea?
Oh, over at Tenby?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's some golf teas over in the fridge in someone's office. You want me to grab you one?
It's basically a John Daly.
You want me to grab you one? Maybe that will soothe the throat?
A little John Daly.
Shotgun one, you know?
Little iced tea, lemonade, and vodka.
A little 10%er, you know, just right down the gullet.
Right down the gullet. I mean, it's better than yesterday. Yesterday, I talked like this. So, I'm doing a little better. We got Fair Foul coming up here in about 10 minutes. But what's interesting is, as the Tampa Bay Rays fire sell at the deadline, it has now been approved by their county that they will share the funding for a brand new 30,000-seat ballpark, $1.3 billion, and the St. Pete City Council is going to spend $417.5 of that, which will keep the Rays in Tampa for 30 more years.
Well, it will keep him in St. Pete.
St. Pete, thank you.
Yeah. You still got to cross the bridge.
Please correct me when I need it.
You still got to cross the bridge, but you will no longer play in that dog-ass stadium of Tropicana Field. The mock-ups look pretty cute. I think they said that like 70% of the seats are going to be in like the lower two-thirds. So it's going to be a very intimate stadium.
Very intimate. Let me tell you, it's going to be more intimate than anyone's ever seen.
I mean,
the most intimate you could ever ask.
You've never seen a more beautiful stadium.
Ouch, my ear.
And I think it's, what is it, like a see-through roof or something like that?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I forgot what the correct wording is. Pavilion-style roof. I don't know what the hell they were saying. But anyway, again, anything better than Tropicana, for God's sake.
Yes, that place is a joke.
And that whole area, I think there was it the historic gas plant district or whatever the hell they call it. They're going to redo all of it. So, you know, good luck to the Rays. You would have done better in Portland, but you're staying put.
But this basically says that, like we're not getting a team, right?
What, us?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah?
It's that kind of attitude
no,
from people in this city, the negative Nancys, the loser mentality.
My name is Patrick.
Let's just have hope for our sports here in Portland.
Hey, that's what they've been selling up in Seattle for the last 40 years. Let's just have hope, okay? Well, that's what we sell in this very city for the Portland Trailblazers fans,
people keep buying the hope.
I will buy that hope. Give me all the hopium right into my main vein, please.
I think it's interesting. I'm kind of surprised that this went down. I mean, I'm glad for St. Pete and for the Tampa Bay Ray Nation, but I'm a little surprised that they made this thing happen. I thought Tampa for sure would be gone.
It came out of nowhere. Granted, I wasn't keeping up on the day-to-day happenings of the Rays stadium situation. I mean, for God's sake, we were just talking about last year how they're going to play half their home games in Montreal, were we not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, how things have changed in a year where it's like, maybe we'll play some home games here. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll literally go like 1,500 miles away and play north of the border.
I like how the Rays also, like before the deadline, had a ton of dudes that were not from America. And if they move to Montreal, it's like, really? I got to get a second green card?
Yeah.
What are you doing to me here,
and
bro?
And you got to learn possibly a third language in French.
Québécois.
Yeah.
Québécois.
Go Nordics. But yeah, I mean, this caught me by surprise. Nice little move by them. They did make one move at the deadline.
That's probably the biggest move of the deadline they made.
Yeah, so sucks that if you are a hopeless romantic like I am about the Portland baseball team, that you will not be getting the Portland Rays. Would be cool because that would be another sports team where the mascot does not match up with the city in the locale at all.
The Portland Rays.
Yeah, there's Rays in the Willamette.
The Portland Devil Rays.
Yeah, I think there's some Rays swimming around in that thing.
They got six eyes and they eat poop for breakfast.
They're just very low in the water. You can't see them. They're down there with the sturgeon.
They're right? Bottom feeders.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like Portland.
They're just
bottom feeders.
So I don't know. Good for them. Again, thank God you're not going to have to play in Tropicana. I think it's 2028 is when they expect to open it.
Yeah, I think I saw that 28, 27. Yeah.
I'm trying to find the damn mock-ups because, I think it's supposed to be like a kind of a see-through. Maybe it's not see-through, but just better, which is, again, you don't gotta, they're going to have like windows along the edges.
Okay.
So you'll see kind of like a skyline.
Have tanks of Rays all around it.
Yes. Yes. Didn't they have that?
They have Rays down there.
That's what I'm saying. They had Rays. Like,
but there's like people you can like put your hands in. And I feel like that water is really gross.
They just call them like what? The puppy dogs of the sea or something like that. Rays, you know, the whole Steve Irwin thing. That was just a one-off.
I'm still mad.
Oh, everyone's still mad. Our entire generation's still mad about it. Okay. But that would, they need to put Rays in the stadium somehow. Didn't they have like, maybe it was the Marlins. Didn't someone have like a fish tank like right behind home plate?
Oh, yeah. Someone did. Where was that?
I feel like it's something that the Marlins would have done.
Miami, possibly?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it can't be as bad as that monstrosity in center field they got.
Oh, well, they had to remove it because of all the foul balls were actually disturbing.
Marlins like, Park fish tanks yeah, removed that, for 2021 season.
Marlins were idiots with their new stadium design. They put that monstrosity of a freaking home run sculpture
you gotta
statue.
You got to love rich people that have no idea what they're doing.
They're trying, all right? They're trying their best. They're trying to be creative. I love the idea of trying to make that happen. And then I see this picture of this dude literally putting tape up against the glass, like
because it's gonna break.
Yeah, exactly.
flood the on deck circle.
I love how
with a bunch of fish dying in front of him.
I love how on fish tanks at places they say do not tap on the glass, but blasting a foul ball directly backwards into it,
no
that's
problem
okay.
at all.
It's all good.
All right, that we'll get out of here. I want to get out early and leave a little extra breathing room for Fair or Foul because I feel like Schultzy's got a good one up his sleeve. So we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, and then there's Schultzy with sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, this is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, where Jordan Schultzy tries to stump us or make us really talk and think about things as radio goes and the shebangs and the sheboys and the sheboygans of the world. Without further ado, I will turn it over to a lot more clean-speaking man. That's Schultzy over there.
Poughkeepsie. Appreciate it. He says Sheboygan, so I figured I'd go with another New York town. Poughkeepsie.
I thought Sheboygan was in Wisconsin.
I think there's a Sheboygan in Illinois, too.
Wow, it's like a Springfield.
Yeah.
Like six or seven states.
But it's Sheboygan. That sounds a lot better than Springfield.
Yeah, Google is telling me Sheboygan, city in Wisconsin.
All right. Well, we know that for sure.
Boom.
Okay, Joe. Cool. Nice flex, bro.
Dude, get your geography game up, bro. All right?
Well, a couple of things maybe you guys don't know for sure. I can try to stump you on these first two, and then we'll get into some deeper thoughts about the trade deadline in the last two questions. Fair foul number one, Aaron Judge having a season. Of course, he's sitting at 39 home runs right now and 99 RBIs, batting almost 320.
I tried to go woo, and I went... I don't have it.
It's like, pass me my smokes.
Visiting my dying grandpa.
I did want to hold a cigarette in my mouth for the YouTube folks, just to play it up.
Just hanging off the lip.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today.
Smart. Monkeys with a cigar hanging out or something like that. We could all do that. Let's see. All right. So, guys, Aaron Judge, yeah, having a great season so far. 39 home runs, 99 RBI. He's obviously had some really big numbers really quick. So I was wondering if he could be the quickest player to ever get to 100 RBIs when he gets his next one, guys. Fair or foul? He could become the quickest player ever to 100 RBIs. Fair or foul?
I'm going to say foul. Because I feel like I know this from MLB The Show, because I was tracking Joe Fisher's season for the Royals, and he was getting up there to set the single season record in the American League for RBIs. And gosh, I'm trying to remember who the all-time leader is in a single season, but it's like 190.
Yes.
So I would think that, God, and the name is escaping me because I Googled it like five times as I was tracking my amazing MVP worthy season.
It's not like Tris Speaker.
No, it was someone for the Cubs back in like the 30s or 40s or something like that. God, it's killing me.
You're right about the year and the team.
Yeah, it's something Wilson.
Oh, dude, you're good.
Again, I was just
I'll just
looking
give it to you. It's Hack Wilson.
Hack Wilson.
He's a hack.
I was just looking hacking. This up. So I think it was old Hack, because he also had like 170 RBI season too. This guy was insane. So I'm going to Hack Wilson or somebody else got there faster.
What? I'll side with Joe on this, as Joe has blown this wide open. The only thing that upsets me is Aaron Judge leading the league in RBIs? Did he pass Jose Ramirez?
I think he was always ahead of Jose.
That makes me... No, he wasn't. Because, like, near the All-Star break, Jose Ramirez had 75 RBIs.
Oh, I know. I think Judge was... I think he had a little bit more. I'm not even kidding you. Judge is having an insane year. We need to remember this.
So I'll live with Joe Fisher on this, but I'm more sad that my starting third baseman, Jose Ramirez, is not leading the American League in RBIs.
Well, it is foul, guys. You're on to something about Hack Wilson, although I'm not even sure he was on my list. I'm trying to figure out exactly how quick he got to 100 RBIs that season. Impressively, guys, Barry Bonds back in 04, and this was not his record-setting home run year, he actually got 100 RBIs in 356 at-bats. Aaron Judge is already sitting at like 383 or 4.
100 RBIs in 350 at-bats?
Yes. 350 at bats.
That's stupid.
And honestly, I'm trying to see like.
Don't do drugs, kids. Yeah. Or do drugs. I don't know what to tell you. That is an argument to do drugs.
If I had a pill given to me and the person giving it to me said, hey, Schultzy, this will make you one of the best radio hosts of all time.
Look,
be hard pressed not to.
If you blow a bunch of these lines, hot chicks will be all over you. Or if you take this shot, you will have 100 RBIs and 350 at bats.
McGuire, and I'm sorry, I was trying to Google to find out. Who did you say?
Barry Bonds, 356 at bats only to get 100 RBIs.
Oh, see, I found some random message board.
No,
I
hate those message board.
Because I think they're talking about their video game too in this.
I got to 100 by the first week of July with McGuire.
Like this music?
Oh, dude.
Bet you Hack Wilson would have loved this music.
Rolling right now.
All right, so yeah, Barry, only 356 at-bats, even after he broke the home run. He only hit 45 whammies that year. So
Only.
Still hitting a ton of ribbies, though. All right, fair or foul number two from one big hitter to another. Bobby Witt Jr., you guys. He is having a July for the ages.
He looks like the real deal.
It's crazy. Like, dudes would be happy with an entire season of stats that he's had in the month of July alone. I'm not going to go over him because it's kind of part of the whole fair or foul question here. So, guys, fair or foul, Bobby Witt has already broken the record for the highest batting average in a single month of all time. Fair or foul, Bobby Witt Jr. has already broken the record for the highest batting average in a single month of all time.
While I secretly think this answer is fair, I'm going to go with foul. Because as much as I like Bobby Witt and as much as I am excited that Bobby Witt looks to be the real deal and I can't wait to see how he progresses as a major league player, I cannot think that he has a better month than, say, Tony Gwynn, Albert Pujols, Manny Ramirez, Ty Cobb, Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig. Those are the greatest hitters of all time. If you're going to tell me that Bobby Witt Jr. has a better month than any of those dudes, I'll eat my shoe on the air. Not really, because I can't eat anything. Swallowing hurts really bad. But that's how I feel.
Hot. Dear God, I'm still trying to find out who was got to 100 RBIs the quickest, and I already spaced. Already spaced on the question, Schultzy. What was it again? Sorry, there. What was it?
It's all good. Bobby Witt, fair or foul, has already broken the record for the highest batting average in a single month of all time.
Last week, he was like 13 for 15 or something like that.
Yeah, it's
after
stupid.
The All-Star break.
That's a lot.
I will say his slugging percentage, guys, in July, 839.
Does July not count because there's the All-Star break?
This is a minimum. I was going a minimum, and this actually, I believe, is what the record holder's count was. A minimum of 75 at-bats, right, and he has eclipsed that. He's at 87 at-bats.
Fair enough.
I'm going to say foul, because I feel like this would be a little bit bigger of a deal if we were getting to this point of July, and it would be going around a little bit more. I got MLB Network on damn near every day.
Now I get to watch MLB Network on my MLB at bat.
When I'm watching it on the TV there over in the sales pit, and I feel like I would have seen something about this. Bobby was playing great, but I don't know if he set the record.
I wasn't able to stump you guys. You're both right. It is foul. So the best batting average of all time in a single month, Todd Helton. May 2000, he batted
Hall of Famer Todd
5-12. He was slugging over 1,000 that month.
Hall of Famer Todd Helton, and that's why Todd Helton's in the Hall of Fame.
Next up, Ivan Rodriguez, and he did it actually with the Detroit Tigers. Steroids, allegedly. In June of 2004, he bat 500. Then he got George Brett with the Kansas City Royals back in July of 1980, hitting 494.
A lot of chaw in that jaw.
Yeah, no kidding. And then Rod Carew with the Twins.
Yeah, there you go. Now we're talking about like all-time guys.
Yeah.
We're talking about all-time guys. Rod Carew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those four, as far as like players since 1969, have the best month ever. And nice. Bobby Witt, he's got another game tomorrow, but so far his hit 483.
He's
got
to go 5 for 5 tomorrow to pass.
Let's see. That would give him 47 out of 92 hits. So let's see. Just trying to do some calculations.
That's over 500.
Is it?
Yeah.
But how far over 500 is it?
Not much.
92 divided by 47. No, I did that wrong. 47 divided by 92.
So, there you go.
510. No, 511. He would not break Todd Helton's record. I think he'd have to go 6 for 6 to get there.
Todd Helton, Rod Carew. Who else was on that list? Pudge.
George Brett. And,
George
good old
Brett.
Roided Pudge.
All of those dudes are in the Hall of Fame.
Damn right. Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt. Just a savage.
I sold a bunch of his rookie cards.
Oh boy,
now I'm really
Let me tell you this. In my fantasy keeper league that we just started, top three picks. Number one, Ronald Acuna Jr. Number two, Julio Rodriguez. Number three, Bobby Witt Jr. Who do you think won that?
Yeah, probably should have gone number two.
Probably should have gone number two with Bobby Witt.
All right, guys, moving on to another middle infielder, or actually, possibly a corner infielder at this point, Jazz Chisholm Jr., man, like you said.
Center fielder, Jazz Chisholm.
Hey, he told the New York Yankees he's able to play wherever the hell they need him to win a championship.
Second base.
Anybody?
Second
base, yeah. Gleyber Torres might be on his way out. As you said, he has hit 4 home runs in the last 48 hours, just having an absolute time and injecting some life back into that New York Yankees clubhouse, guys. So fair or foul, Jazz Chisholm Jr. is the spark the New York Yankees needed to get to the playoffs.
Well, I'll start it off. I mean, to get to the playoffs, I mean, I would say foul. They're going to get to the playoffs. As far as making a run and having more than just two hitters that you have to rely on, I would say fair on that. I think that, again, just the personality that Jazz Chisholm is, or
Chisholm.
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 Yeah. Again, another player we don't know how to pronounce his last name. Just the way that he is, I think that this is going to rejuvenate him to where he actually gives an F and cares about his at-bats, his approach, And now that he has something to play for and knows where this season potentially could go, this will light a fire under him and this Yankees team. I hope not too much of a fire, selfishly, but I think they did need a third star, third player, because Volpe has taken a dip since the beginning of the season. Verdugo, while he's great in left field with the glove, his batting has been, there's been a little bit left to be desired there. Torres isn't giving you much, so I think they just needed a star to come in and give them a shot in the arm, and I think he's going to do that.
I'm with Joe that I will say fair that he is the spark that they need. However, I'll take it a step further and say foul in the sense that he is the spark that takes them where they want to be. I still think this team is severely flawed. I think, okay, now you have, like, look at the Dodgers. When everyone's healthy, the top four are great. The rest is pretty garbage. I think the Yankees are the Dodgers light. Garrett Cole has been extremely inconsistent. Rodon has looked good and then looked terrible. This team, I think, is, if this team was called the Seattle Mariners, they would have the same problems the Seattle Mariners have. You got a couple good players, and you're good in this department, and you're terrible in other departments. That I think Jazz is the spark they need, but I don't think Jazz is the spark that gets them where they want to be.
All right, guys. Fair foul number four. Got to throw one in about my Mariners. The Seattle Mariners making four major trades, technically five because Ty France was sold off to the Reds, but getting two relief pitchers in JT Chargois, excuse me, and Jimmy Garcia, as well as Justin Turner and Randy Arozarena to help at the plate. So, guys, fair or foul, the Seattle Mariners did enough at the trade deadline to not just make the playoffs, but to win the AL West. They did enough, fair or foul, at the trade deadline to win the AL West.
I'll go first. I will say fair. I do think they did enough to win the division, but a lot of that caveat is because I think the Astros were very poor in this. I think the Astros have glaring issues. I think Kikuchi is not the starter you needed. And I think they have a really big gap at first base. And Jeremy Pena has been good, but not good. Bregman's been a lot better than how he started, but this team is a shell. And there's rumors that Kyle Tucker's not coming back. And if Kyle Tucker's not coming back, then you're done. You're toast. Kyle Tucker's top five player in baseball. I think the Mariners did enough to win the division. Do I think it's enough to get where they want to go? Maybe not, but I do think it's enough for them to win the division.
I'll say fair as well. As you mentioned, I believe this is as of just 4 hours ago. Yeah, Kyle Tucker, 60-day injured list is where he's headed. So, I mean,
it's so strange.
There's like 60 games left.
He just took that foul ball off his shin, and he's toast.
But I think with what the Mariners did and what the Astros didn't do, and I
think it's more about what they didn't do.
Yeah. I took the Astros to win this division. I said about a month or so ago that the Mariners were going to lose the division, even with their lead. At that point, it wasn't 10 games, but it was enough to just make me feel like, again, seeing this team not good. But there was one team that did make a change, and one team didn't. And to me, the roster moves and getting that injection in the arm, getting Jorge Polanco back, and maybe he's
looked good last couple
games. He's looked great. So, again, just when you get Julio, JP back, hopefully that's enough momentum and the bats start hitting the ball for the love
of God. Julio, JP, Polanco, who should have been there,
should have been playing like this from the beginning of the season.
And a Rosarena, you know, five bats that in theory should get you somewhere.
Well, and now that you've seen this sample
size. Cal Raleigh, number six.
And now that you've seen this sample size from Robles, like, you would expect, like, it's like, all right, dude, you've been playing this good. Don't fail me now.
That guy was cut from a team that's going to finish last in their division. It's like that's nuts.
Yeah.
It's, well, like, not really, because my Nats are better than
my Nats, too, dude. I had a lot of faith in them this year.
Dude, Nats, baby, Nats.
So I say fair that this will be enough for them to pull out the division.
All right, that'll do it for us. It is fair or foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, Today in the Fan. Well, we'll be back next week. It'll be August. I think I'll And that's when it gets going, baby.
Real quickly, if you want to see one of the best typos of all time.
It's pretty great, Joe. Send it.
Go to Twitter.
It's all you. I'm turning this over to Joe Fisher. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Fisher III.
Go to Twitter. Go to my profile at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H-3, or the Portland Tribune. And, man, they tell you how they really feel about the Multnomah County Sheriff in their tweet.
We can't say that word on the air, can we?
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, is that a dump? Is that a dump?
Oh, that's a dump. Okay. Yeah. Past 10 o'clock, technically huge the FCC dump. Is not monitoring.
So, county, if you take the O dump. Out of county,
you get bleep.
You get see you next Tuesday. It is the most Portland thing in the world that, like, the city has decided this is what we're going to do. And then the county is like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, I love they present him to the jail, the guy today that they arrest for the camping ban. And then they're like, no.
I also want to know, like,
we are not taking it.
I also want to know, like, okay, so there's a camping ban. All right. You know, and we're not here on politics, okay? We're not here talking about policy or anything like that.
Oh, I am. Fisher 2024, baby.
I'm just saying, all right? We got the camping ban, right? You arrested one guy? One guy.
Hey, maybe
all the camping in this city.
Maybe it's...
You got one guy.
Maybe it's one of the things...
What did that guy do to get arrested? That's now what I want to know.
He didn't put out his campfire.
Well, what about the other 30 dudes doing the same?
Well, again, I was going to say maybe that it's one of those things where, like, tomorrow it's 2, and then the next day it's 4, well, and then the next day it's 8. It just keeps kind of doubling, and then before
like
you know
Ronald
it,
Reagan trickle down economics.
Yeah, it's just it keeps multiplying by 2, and then before you know it,
we're
it's at 16,
we're
and then 32, and then we're at 64.
We'll get.
And then before you know it, streets are clean. We're gonna be streets are clean in like a month.
Streets are clean in a month.
Yeah. That's like that is basic math right there, okay?
You know, it's funny. Last summer, the wife and I went to Europe, and then I was walking around Paris where the Olympics are. And, you know, they're talking about the Seine River being like super gross and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, man, there's something really like familiar about this place.
Yeah. Why does it smell like poop?
God, I really love it here. I'm just so comfortable. Is that the Willamette?
Hey, man, I was looking up E. coli levels.
No, that's the Seine.
I was looking up E. coli levels of the Willamette. Is there E. coli in the Willamette?
Stay tuned next week.
In Portland.
Hot quarter, 7 o'clock.
Yes. But it's below the unsafe line or the whatever number they use.
That's what I...
Per 100 milliliters. So you're good. You're fine.
Is there E. coli in there? Yeah, yeah. But you're safe. Like, don't worry about it. Go swim.
Just don't open your mouth in the water. But go in. God.
Yeah, you couldn't catch me swimming in the Willamette.
So funny, growing up in Vancouver, I was always told that Vancouver Lake is disgusting, and Vancouver Lake is disgusting, but it is not as disgusting as the Willamette.
Not even close.
The poop-filled Willamette.
Hey, man, you can go...
I do miss the Willamette. I miss that we could see it, so you could, like, see the turds. It just, like, resonated more. Now I'm kind of like, is it overblown? You know, I don't see it all the time. People might be making stuff up. When we were at McAdam, that was like Bancroft. That was like, there's poop.
Listen, man, Cathedral Park boat launch, only 2 E. coli organisms per 100 milliliters. And that was a week ago, all right? So you're fine.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
An E. coli count less than 406 is below the health standard. So you are well in that range. You are fine.
Only in America is it like, hey, this thing might kill you, but it's below threshold.
You know, in Newburgh, where I live, that's really close to some like farm areas.
Totally. You definitely got to watch that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I honestly think I would rather swim in downtown Portland than the Willamette River over in Newburgh, where there is cow S.
Really? You think it's that much worse?
Oh, I think so. Farming chemicals and sprays and cow poop and everything in there. It's like a sludge in there.
Fake news.
It's got a nice little sheen over it. Algae blooms.
Don't take your dogs. No dogs. All right, that'll do it for us. We come back next week. Starting to look ahead. Yeah. Trade deadline's over.
If you come back next week.
Now it's who's here to play and who's going home. We'll look into it. Guys coming off the DL, guys going down. Like, we'll see. There's a lot of baseball still to be played.
Like you said, it's August next week. We're getting into the crunch time.
This is where it goes. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you next week. That's Joseph Fisher to my left. Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do, like some tea and some honey. Honey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.